Welcome. My name is Elisa Heimovaara. I'm the international coordinator of the Faculty of Education and Psychology. So some of you I've already met, and the rest of you who are in our faculty will meet on Thursday. But today I'm here to talk about the academic practices in our university in general. There is a lot of stuff to be covered in about 1 hour. I apologize for having so many slides and such heavy matters. But this is probably something that you are going to encounter at some point of your studies here. So try and pay some attention, okay? Okay, so I'm talking about practicalities, such as planning your studies, registering for courses, modes of study, assignments, exams, assessment, and so on and so on. At the end, if we have time, feel free to ask questions. But before we begin, I would like to say, just show you very quickly the sort of structure of the degrees in our universities, Finnish universities. So unlike in some other countries, in Finland also the master's level studies are considered to be undergraduate studies. So when we are talking about postgraduate studies, we always mean PhD level studies. Okay, in one academic year, like in many other countries, you are supposed to do 60 ECTS credits worth of studies. And in our university, we calculate the ECTS so that one credit equals to 27 hours of student work. Okay, this does not mean that you will have 27 hours of contact teaching. In fact, you may have no contact teaching at all in some of your courses. So what is included in a credit? Everything. Lectures, seminar, group work, pair work, demonstration classes, laboratory work, especially in subjects like biology or chemistry, exams and the time for preparing for the examinations, writing essays, preparing for your assignments, stuff like that. Any kind of independent work you do. So in addition to contact teaching, also your independent work counts. Academic calendar. You can see this on the web pages of the university under the sort of instructions for students. Our academic year is divided into two semesters. Some of you are here only for the autumn term. Some will stay for the entire year. But each semester is divided into two periods. In some departments, some subjects, courses are organized so that one course will last for one period. In some other departments, it's not always so clear-cut. But all the courses mostly begin and end within one semester. There are a few exceptions, so be certain that if you see some funny dates on Korppi, ask your coordinator in your department about the timing of the course. In addition to the four periods, we have the summer semester, or the fifth period, but usually that is not very relevant for you as exchange students. We have some national holidays that are days off and when the university is closed. The first one that you will encounter is our Independence Day, which is always on the 6th of December. Then the Christmas holiday, well, Christmas is considered to be from Christmas Eve to the second day of Christmas in Finland, so 24th to 26th of December. New Year's Day is a day off, and then we have an Easter holiday. And actually, the week preceding Easter is without any contact teaching at the university. So the Easter holiday is from 15th to the 22nd of April,
and the actual Easter is 19th to 22nd. The 1st of May is a day off here, and it's a big celebration for students. So if you happen to be here during the 1st of May, be prepared to see a lot of students celebrating all over the town. And the 30th of May is also a bank holiday. I actually noticed that on the web pages it says that exams and contact teaching will finish by the 19th of May. And in many cases, perhaps in most cases, that is true. But at least, for example, in our faculty, in the Faculty of Education and Psychology, we have the option of doing some independent exams. And it is actually possible that these may be after the 19th of May. But in principle, everything should be finished by the 19th of May. And of course, now in autumn, by the 21st of December. Okay. Quickly, something about planning your studies here. You may choose your courses from, first and foremost, from your own department. But, for example, our Language Center has a lot of courses that are available for all visiting students. And some of the courses from other faculties and other departments are also available for all visiting students in our university. Depending on your home university, they may have some very specific requirements regarding the courses you do here. We here in Jyväskylä are usually pretty flexible regarding the content of your studies. We are happy when your home university is happy. Okay? So if in doubt about the suitability of a course, contact your home university coordinator and make certain that they are okay with the courses you choose. And this is why we are, and you are, doing the learning agreements. So your study plan is the learning agreement, and it has to be accepted by your home university and by us. We expect you to do approximately 30 credits per semester. Your home university may have similar requirements. So once again, make certain that you know what your home university expects. And please notice that your home university may require you to do some specific course which may not be available here. And then that puts you in a difficult position. So if you notice that they expect you to do something, and we don't have it available, consult first your international coordinator here in Jyväskylä and ask whether they can suggest something similar, or if it just totally something that does not exist at all here in Jyväskylä, ask your home university whether it is actually a real must to do that course, or whether you could replace it by something else. Okay. Your faculty or department international coordinator contact person is probably the best person to assist you. But of course, everybody here in the international office and also, us in general, the faculty international coordinators will be happy to try and instruct you as well. But your contact person, faculty or department international coordinator, is the best person to contact. Okay. As I said, exchange agreements are designed to be so that you are accepted as a student in one of our faculties. And mostly, we assume that you are going to choose courses first and foremost from that faculty or that department that you've been accepted in. But it is possible to choose courses from other faculties as well. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a problem with that. I'm just very quickly showing the link to the webpage I'm certain you are all quite familiar with. Are you? Yeah.
Okay. So here you can see a listing of the courses from our faculty. So for example, if we go to check what is available in communication and intercultural communication and journalism, you can see that in this semester, in this autumn, we have these courses and the courses that have all here, like the introduction to intercultural communication, 5 credits, that is available to all of you, okay, regardless of your where you have been accepted or what you are studying back home. But then again, course like qualitative research methodology is available for only those students who have been accepted as exchange students in the Department of Communication and Languages. Clear? Yeah, sure. Okay. Then Language Center, as I said earlier, offers a lot of courses for all of our students, degree students and exchange students alike, courses in English, courses in Finnish, courses in other foreign languages. I very, very warmly recommend them. Check what is available. In general, you should get acquainted with the contents and the requirements of the course, because especially in the intermediate and advanced level courses, it is possible that you are expected to have a basic command, basic knowledge in that subject before you can sign in, before you can register for the course. Our studies are organized so that, you know, basic level courses are the... Well, actually, I think I have a slide about that. But basic level courses are like the introduction level, then intermediate is a little bit more advanced, and then the advanced level studies are most advanced in this case. All of our courses can be found in the Korppi system. Have you heard of Korppi? Yeah, all of you, yeah. It's the system we use for course registration, timetables, and so on. All of our courses have English titles in Korppi, but unfortunately that does not necessarily mean that they are taught in English or that you can participate. And I will talk about that in a minute. If we are talking about the course code, the three first characters tell you which subject we are talking about. And then the fourth character, the fourth digit, tells the level of the studies. So I have included some examples here, like TIE stands for Tietotekniikka or Information Technology, PSY, Psychology, and so on and so on. And then the fourth letter, in my example, you have P here, that stands for Perusopinnot, so basic level studies, usually completed during your first study year at the university. A stands for intermediate level studies, so bachelor's level, second or third year, and S for advanced studies, so fourth or fifth year, master's level studies. Okay. Logical enough, eh? Just to learn some Finnish so you will understand what the three first digits tell you. Most of our departments use Korppi for course registration. And all of the courses have a certain registration period, which is stated there in Korppi under the course description. And something I would really like to emphasize here is if you know or if you realize that eventually you won't be able to participate in this course, or your home university tells you that they are not going to accept it as part of your studies and you don't need any sort of extra credits, please cancel your registration in Korppi. Because in many cases, the number of places in the courses is limited. So if you are registered to the course, but you won't take it, you are sort of taking the place of someone else who might have actually needed the course. So consider, and if you know that you won't be able to do the course, cancel registration, please.
When to register?
In principle, as soon as possible. Have you all received your usernames and passwords, either today or then earlier? Yeah. So I don't know, is there going to be explanation or instructions for activating your username and password during today? Okay, tomorrow. Okay, so Anna Maria just told me that there is an IT session programmed into your orientation program tomorrow. So they are going to talk about activating your username and password there. But you also have the instructions on the piece of paper, which states the username and password. And after you have activated it, you can start using it for corporate registration. Some of the courses are probably not open for registration yet, especially those courses that have limited participation there and that are first and foremost aimed at visiting students. For example, I have put the registration period of our teaching practice course for, I think, 7th of September or something like that, because I want everybody to have their usernames and passwords working before they can start registering, because it's kind of fair, in my opinion, that everybody has the same chance because the places are really limited. But each course has their own deadlines for registration, and you can see them in Korppi system. Okay. In Korppi, well, that's a pretty handy tool. You can see your own timetables, for example, under the courses. It has your personal calendar. You can check whether you have overlapping lectures, overlapping courses. Korppi shows them very nicely to you in the calendar. Obviously, we use it for registering for the courses and for the examinations, for seminar groups, if it is a course like that. Degree students make their study plan there. You can see your transcript of records, so the courses you have completed with the grades and the number of credits, and also the course descriptions for most of the courses. Korppi operates in both Finnish and English. You just have to change the language you use, and under your preferences, you can set the language to be always English, if you like. Something that is also pretty important, especially now when we have had some challenges with our new ICT system, check that your email address is correct in Korppi. And please, please, pretty please, put in an email address that you actually read. Okay? Because we use Korppi for communicating with you. And if you put either the university address there or something else that you only access like once a month, you may actually lose or miss a lot of useful information. It is possible, and this is also something that they are probably going to tell you tomorrow in the ICT session, you can have the university email address forward the messages to your Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo, whatever you are using. But if you have placed your email address in Korppi and anywhere in our databases, keep reading that, because we use also email for communicating. If you have difficulties with Korppi, there is a feedback form that you can use to contact Korppi support personnel directly. Your international coordinators may help with something, but if it is a technical problem or some challenges with your usernames, we are usually pretty useless with issues like that. Okay. Especially now at the beginning of the school year, academic year, Korppi tends to get very crowded, so it sometimes crashes down. It actually has a very pretty picture. Korppi actually translates into raven, you know, the blackbird. And if it crashes down, it actually shows you a raven saying, So it sometimes does that.
But be patient.
Try again
a little bit later on.
I have just included a few sort of scenes from Korppi course search. I'm not going into details with that because you can ask your tutors, student tutors, for example, to help you with searching for the courses. There are various options or alternatives for searching an individual course or then the course program and so on and so on. So ask your student tutors for help or your program, well, international coordinator in your department or your contact person. Okay. Modes of study. Depending on where you come from, you may be used to having, you know, a lecture once or twice or three times a week, every week, the same time for the entire period, for the entire semester. That's not necessarily the case here. Some departments, some subjects, some disciplines have it like that. But, for example, in my faculty, it's definitely not like that. We have a lot of modes of study. We have the lectures, we have the seminars, group work presentations, book examinations, essays, learning diaries, intensive courses, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And this is an example from our faculty, although I have to say this is a little bit outdated because this is from last year and nowadays it looks a little bit different. But you can see this is an example from Korppi course description. We have the code and the name of the course, you know, ERIS 318. ERI stands for Erityispedagogiikka, so special education. And then S means that it is an advanced level course. And then there is the name International Perspectives on Special Education. We have listed the learning outcomes, which in principle show you what you should have learned by the end of the course. Then the contents, modes of study. In this case, we have lectures, small groups for 16 hours. And if you think that this is a 5-credit course equaling 135 hours of student work, you can see 135 minus 16 of contact teaching, it means a heck of a lot of work by yourself, you know, independently. Completion mode, we have an exam and a learning assignment. So you have to both sit an examination and write a piece of paper, an essay on this. And then we have the learning materials, and this is assessed from 0 to 5. And the timing is, this is first and foremost for our master's degree students, so it means the first master's year, spring, period 4, so late in spring. And then we have the person in charge, Professor Hannu Savolainen. Okay. So for all of your courses, you should see something like this in Korppi. Our course descriptions are not as detailed as in some countries, as in some universities. So you might need some more detailed descriptions for your home universities. Once again, contact your contact person, contact your international coordinator. Okay. A few things that are important to notice. Some departments and courses use the sort of pre-registration. For example, some language center courses, you register first for the course and then it asks you to confirm your registration a little bit later on. This is exactly to avoid the sort of people registering for the courses and being no-shows, not appearing for the course. Okay. So you register for the course and sometimes you need to confirm your registration at a later date. Overlapping schedules. That's a possibility, especially when you choose courses from different faculties, from different departments. It is quite possible that your two of your courses overlap. There are varying policies in the
departments regarding absence and presence and whether you are permitted to just, you know, miss once or twice or not at all. So, guess what? Ask your contact person, ask your international coordinator in your department. They are the best people to answer, you know, regarding the policies of each department, each faculty. But in general, do not miss the first time a course meets. The teachers are supposed to, and I emphasize supposed to, explain the requirements of the course, explain the grading principle, grading criteria, and the policies regarding presence, absence, and so on and so on during the first meeting. Okay. If for some reason you cannot attend, try and send a message in advance, and if you have a friend who is going to the same course, ask them to explain the things to you afterwards. We have a funny thing called academic quarter of an hour in Finland. It means that usually our lectures begin at 15:15. So it may say that you have a lecture at 10 o'clock. Actually, it means 10:15. The morning lectures sometimes make an exception. Nobody wants to begin at 8 o'clock or 8:15 in the morning. So quite often the morning lectures are from 8:30 to 10. But make certain, ask your teacher, ask your contact person, what is the policy in every department. So don't be perturbed if you go someplace at 10 o'clock and nobody's there. By 10:45, they should be there. Okay. I was talking about attendance. I recommended you to contact the lecturer or your international coordinator. Yeah, class sizes vary, teaching methods vary, so nothing very, you know, I can't say much about that. Good. Right. Once again, depending on where you come from and what you are studying, it is possible that you are used to sitting examinations, written examinations, or oral examinations. I have to say that oral examinations are almost non-existent in Finland, in Finnish universities. Our Department of Languages has experimented with some oral examinations, but in general, everything is in writing. And for example, in my faculty, we have very, very, very few exams as such anymore. It tends to be written assignments. And in general, once again, ask your department personnel about the correct procedure for referencing and writing conventions in that discipline. But always pay attention to instructions. Once again, the teachers are supposed to give you clear instructions on how to write an assignment. And the method of submission, of submitting the papers, may vary from course to course and lecturer to lecturer. I do hope we don't have many people who expect you to print it out on paper and hand it as a hard copy anymore. There may be some people who still do that, but I hope we don't have many of those. But usually, it can be, you know, they can ask you to send them by email or then upload to Moodle or Coppa or Pedanet, which are different learning platforms that are used in our university. Check deadlines. Some of our lecturers are pretty flexible with the deadlines. Others are not at all flexible. So if you miss the deadline, it is possible that they just say that, okay, you missed the deadline, I won't grade your paper. If you have some real obstacles, like you fall ill and you just can't meet the deadline, send a message in advance, way well before the deadline, to the teacher and explain the situation. You know, I broke my leg. I was two weeks at the hospital. I just couldn't do it. Okay. But try to do it in advance, because it's kind of frustrating from the teacher's point of view if the deadline is, you know, the 1st of December and on the 30th of November I receive a bunch of emails saying that, well, I can't meet the deadline. Okay.
Come on. Okay.
Especially when we are talking about written assignments, we are. I have to talk to you about fraud and plagiarism. And fraud can mean many things. That can be cheating in an examination or copying an assignment from another student. Or if you are doing some kind of research or lab work, you falsify your measurements or findings, and so on and so on and so on. But especially when we are talking about written assignments, you have to make certain that the reader always knows whether you are quoting or paraphrasing your source or whether this is actually your own thinking, your own writing. So please, please be certain that you use referencing and quotations correctly. We are using a special software program called Urkund for detecting plagiarism in assignments. And there is a whole big, long, extensive document on the web pages of the university regarding fraud and plagiarism. If I tell you a very good, bad example from a couple of years ago, unfortunately, a couple of our exchange students were caught for plagiarizing the entire assignment of some other students. The consequences can be pretty serious. In this case, because both were visiting students, of course, the results for that course or those courses were annulled, so they didn't pass the courses. They also met with the head of academic affairs of our faculty as well as the dean. And we contacted their home universities and explained the situation that they had plagiarized the entire assignment. Quite frankly, they were not too bright about it because they submitted assignments that that students from their home universities in the year before had submitted. So they were caught immediately. So don't do it. You don't want to get caught. You don't want to plagiarize. It may have quite long-standing consequences for your academic career. Okay. Exams. I said that it is pretty common to have written assignments instead of examinations. But depending on the department, depending on the discipline, we still have also exams. And we have several kinds of examinations, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit here. So in some courses, after the lectures, there is a special separate examination on the lectures. And if that is the case, then this lecture exam is part of the course. And you can find the times for the examination and the re-sit of the examination in Korppi under the course description. Quite often, you have to register separately for examination, which in Finnish is tentti, in Korppi. And if you know that, you know, the exam will be, let's say, 1st of December, but you are actually returning home earlier for some reason, contact the teacher beforehand and perhaps they can organize a separate session for you or another way of submitting or passing the course. And then, as I said,
The book examination can be part of the course, so it is possible that you have a lecture course and you have an examination based on the lectures, and in addition, you have to read a book or two, and then there is a separate examination on the books. Okay. Or quite often, it is at the same time as the sort of lecture exam, then just a couple of questions are based on the books. Depends. Or then, it might be the only mode of studying for a course. And this is the case for example, for a couple of courses in our faculty. We have, for example, the issues in inclusive education, which this year does not have any contact teaching at all. It just has a package of reading material, a book or two books, that you have to read. And when you feel ready, you have a sufficient command of the contents of the books, you sit the examination. Okay. No contact teaching, just independent reading and sitting the examination. We have faculty general examination dates at least once a month. And you have to register for the exams using Korppi, usually. And depending on the faculty, it's 1 week or 10 days before the exam. Okay. You have to state the course, you have to state the material if there are, you know, some options. On a general examination day, as I said, you use Korppi for registration. It has to be a minimum of 1 week before that. It can be earlier than that. I think it's the Faculty of Sports and Health Sciences that still has the 10 days before. I seem to remember it's like that, but anyway, you can check with your contact person. And be on time. Usually they do not accept late registrations. And once again, if you realize that you won't be able to take the exam, you have not prepared well enough, you don't want to risk, you know, whether you pass or not, cancel your registration. In principle, you have 2 attempts to take the examination. But if you are a no-show and you don't cancel your registration, it counts as 1 attempt. On the examination day, you have to be there on time. And in front of the exam room, which are the exam rooms are in the you are informed of the exam rooms on the web pages of the faculty. You go there, and at the door, there is a person or 2 persons who are, you know, calling your names, and they give you the exam envelope. You go to the classroom, leave your stuff there, go sit in your place, and then the supervisors give you the permit to open the envelopes, and then you can start writing. You have to sit there for at least 30 minutes, even if you don't know anything. 30 minutes. This also means, you know, vice versa, you can be late for 30 minutes, as long as no one has left the examination room, the supervisors have to accept you. This is not to say that you should do it like that, but if it so happens that you are a little bit late, you have, you know, half an hour to go that. And once again, as I said, leave your stuff, you know, in front of the door, in front of the room, or on the corridor somewhere near to the wall. No talking at all in the exams. Once again, remember the fraud, plagiarism thing. And when you leave, when you submit your papers, you have to submit all the papers and you have to show you your ID. So a student card, ID card, passport, something like that. And unfortunately, at the moment, the Frank app, the digital student card, is not accepted as a proof of identity. They are sort of exploring the possibility of accepting it, but for the time being, no. So if you have the Frank app, keep your ID card or your passport with you when you are going to take an examination. Okay.
In addition to the general examination dates or department examination dates, which also exist in some departments, you can sit some exams as e-examinations. Have you heard of the e-exams? No, your tutors didn't tell you yet. Okay. Some courses are available on e-exams. I said about the issues in inclusive education course from our faculty. That is actually available as an e-examination. It means that you read the books, and when you think that you have prepared well enough, you register for the e-examination on our e-exam software. You book a slot in either the X building or the university main library e-exam room. There is a calendar that shows you the available slots. And then you just go there. You are sent a special username and password for logging on to the e-examination computers. They are sort of disposable. You only use them once. And that's that. Then you just sit there, answer the questions, write the essays, submit your answers, and that's that. This gives you quite a lot of flexibility because you can sit the examinations as e-exams as long as the library is open. So early in the morning, late-ish in the night, also during the weekend. But especially towards the end of the semester, these e-exam classrooms tend to be a little bit crowded because a lot of students sort of realize towards the end of November that, okay, I should have done this and this and that course. So they rush to book times on the e-exam timetables. So try to plan your stay here so that if you know that you are taking an e-examination, try to register for the exam early enough. Okay. And once again, your tutors, your contact people, help you. As I said, it is possible to sit an examination twice in principle. So it's also possible to retake an exam. If you pass your exam with a grade that you are not really happy with, you can try it again and try to get a better grade. Although I have to say that if you receive a 4, which is the second highest grade, and you aim at 5, your teacher might not be too happy because 4 is really good. But, yeah. But if you are missing in action twice or you fail twice, in principle, you should contact the teacher and ask about the possibilities for, you know, resitting the exam or what you should do. In principle, it is possible that they tell you that you have to sit the course again. In practice, because you are exchange students, probably they will give you one more try, but don't count on it. Twice is the sort of official. Another thing is that for many courses, there is a requirement of set books, you know, some literature for the course, and there is usually a very limited number of copies in the library. They are more and more using, you know, e-books, but even the number of e-books might be limited. So try and plan your studies so that you will have access to the necessary literature. Okay. Rushing on, sorry about that. Assessment and grades. We have a grading scale from 0 to 5. 0 is fail, so the lowest pass grade is 1. And the best grade is 5, excellent. And if we have a look at the sort of conversion scale to the ECTS grade scale, you can see that it sort of corresponds as far as the individual grades go on. Some courses may be graded only pass or fail, hyv or hyl in Finnish. Something that comes to mind is
some of our sort of teaching practice courses may be graded only pass or fail. If this is a problem, if your home university does not simply refuses to accept this kind of grading scale, contact the teacher of the course. Okay? If you fail a course, if you fail to submit the written assignment, or if you fail an examination or something like that, try to agree with the responsible teacher before you leave the country. It's kind of awkward to receive emails half a year afterward saying that I would have to pass this course, otherwise I won't be able to move on in my own university. Try and organize everything before you go away, okay? Bell curve, normal distribution, not used in Finland, in university settings. So in principle, if I have 25 students in my class, in my course, all of you can get a 5 if you do, you know, good enough work. In that sense, we don't have... our grading system is not directly comparable to the ECTS grading scale because, you know, we don't have certain percentages. Also, we don't have a university-level assessment criteria. So that means that the criteria for the grades in different departments, different faculties, may differ. And even within a department, from one lecturer to another, they may use different grading criteria, assessment criteria. And that is why it is important to attend the first lecture, because there the teacher should explain to you what he or she expects you to do during the course and what is the, you know, the requirement for grade 5 or grade 3 or in general, what is expected of you. If they don't do that, ask them to do it. Sometimes they forget. Okay. One more thing. As I said, we don't have a certain percentage of grade 5 and a certain percentage of grade 1 in any given course in general. We also don't use ranking lists. Okay. So if you attend my course, I won't be comparing Mary and Anne, you know. I'm just comparing Mary's performance according to the learning objectives and my own assessment criteria, and then Anne's performance to my assessment criteria. Course results, grades and credits are published within 2 or 3 weeks. Well, 2 weeks. The teachers have 2 weeks to grade the papers, to assess grade the papers, and then there is 1 more week for transferring the grades into Korppi, into the course and credit database. These 2 weeks mean 2 weeks from the exam date or from the submission deadline if we are talking about written assignments. So if the teacher has told you that the submission deadline for your written assignment is 1st of December, but you submit it already on the 1st of November, good for you. But don't expect the teacher to grade it by the 15th of November, because it's quite possible that the teacher has reserved some time for grading the papers after the 1st of December. Okay? Did you understand what I mean? Yeah, sure. Okay. You can see the results in Korppi under the courses. When you have completed a course, it will appear as completed in your Korppi list of courses and also in your transcript of records. You have access to your transcript of records in Korppi. If you want to get an email notification of every time you pass a course, follow the instructions written here.
By the way, my presentation will be available on the webpage of the International Office under the orientation program.
Good. So you can check these things from there.
In transcript of records, all the courses that you have successfully passed will appear. Our university transcript does not show courses that you have failed or cancelled or not completed in any other case. If you need some kind of certificate saying for your home university saying that, okay, the student participated in this and that course but failed the examination, contact your international coordinator. Perhaps they can help you and explain this to your home university. But our official transcript of records only has the successfully completed courses. And we are going to send you, our central international office will send you the official transcripts of records about 3-4 weeks, max 5 weeks, after you have completed your stay here in Jyväskylä. Okay. Our teachers will not write you other course certificates for participating. Okay. Contact with the staff. I don't know whether you have already noticed, but we tend to be pretty relaxed about, the hierarchy between students and teachers. So we are not as rigid as in some other countries. And the Finnish way of communicating, which I guess you will be hearing about later on, is pretty much to the point, sometimes even abrupt. So try to be patient with us. As I said, the relationships between students and professors and lecturers are pretty relaxed and casual, but still respectful. We usually call our professors and teachers by their first name, so it's not Professor Smith or Dr. this and that. It can be just John and Mike. Yeah, I know. but still, there are other ways of showing your respect and being polite. In Finnish, we have, for example, in French, for example, you have the tu and vous. In Finnish, we have sinä and te. And we usually use the informal sinä, so the sort of singular form, instead of the formal plural. Once again, depending a little bit on your subject, the dress code can be really casual. It's pretty typical in our department to see people walking around in jeans and, especially in wintertime, woolen socks without any shoes in the building. It's pretty difficult to figure out who is who based on, the clothes. So I would say the same thing goes for you. As long as you are dressed decently, anything goes.
Okay.
We gather course feedback after every course using Korppi. Once again, as I told you, it's a very useful tool. But if you want, and also if you want to have feedback regarding your own assignment, you can ask for the teachers about that. But please understand that it's impossible to correct every little punctuation mark and every little mistake or, lack of something in your essays, because they just get too many of them. In many cases, the teachers and other university staff have weekly appointment hours, office hours. If they do, respect them. Go and meet them during the office hours. Emails, pretty tricky. A good way to try and get in touch with people, but nowadays we get a lot of emails every day.
So unfortunately, some of the important emails may get buried in, you know, under the avalanche of emails in my e-box, for example.
So if you don't, for example, for me, if you don't hear back from me for, let's say, 1 week, try and send again, say that, hey, I already sent this to you, but you have not replied.
In many cases, it's a better idea to try and meet the person, the person you are searching or trying to reach in person, you know, face-to-face, rather than by email. If you are sending emails, please be precise. State your topic in the subject field. if it's regarding a course, mention the code of the course or the name of the course. State your name as it is, you know, your official name as it is written in Korppi. Once again, to use a real-life example, years ago, I received a message which just said, hi, and the sender was from address onesexyhoney.com at hotmail.com. It was a student, but I didn't realize it for some reason. Yeah, so, you know, precise emails. And please allow enough time. Approximately 1 week is okay. If it is a lot longer, then they probably have forgotten or not seen your email. Where to find information?
International office, faculty international coordinators, your contact persons, if it is something else, that somebody else than your international coordinator, student unions, your student tutors, web pages, your peers.
And so to conclude with,
academic freedom. You have a lot of freedom in Finland as a university student. But that does not mean that we have no rules. We trust our students, we trust you to do your job, to study, to meet the deadlines, to write the assignments, to sit the examinations. And we expect you to, you know, be mature and independent. Plan and organize, be in charge. If you don't understand something, just ask. Okay. And we have, once again, a long document regarding the rights and responsibilities of students and staff members of our university. I have included links to FS News List and Facebook groups and so on and so on. And Anna Maria is trying to give me a hint, saying that I am about to finish. I have to finish my presentation here. So I don't think we have time for questions and answers. Just remember, ask, get involved, explore, and enjoy your stay here. Thank you very much.